that there is the theme song to the Bluey show. Oh, I have. Did I not bring my ears? Oh, I think I maybe forgot my ears. Oh, well, Brian has his ears. I got Bingo over there. So if you've ever watched preschool television with your children or grandchildren, then maybe you will agree with this sentiment that it is kind of like walking through a desert, in that it is torturous and dull and sometimes really annoying or even aggravating because there's really nothing there for you. And that is the way that I felt very often when Brian was littler and we would watch these kind of preschool shows. Just a lot of terrible things. So when we discovered Bluey, it was like an oasis in the desert. This show, Bluey, it's so well done. Each episode is only about 7 minutes, but in that 7 minutes, they managed to tell these incredibly complex stories in a very simple way. At no time does the show ever pander to children. It always kind of gives a sense that children, even preschool children, have enough intelligence to follow what's going on. And indeed, they do. But there's also enough things that are put in there for the parents who are watching that they can relate to. The show features the family of healers. Now, a blue healer is a kind of breed of dog, and this show that takes place in Australia, that's where blue healers are pretty common. And so it takes place, there's a blue healer that's Bandit, is the dad, and his wife Chili is the mum, and they have two daughters, Bingo, who is the little one, and Bluey, who is the older one. And alongside this family, the reason why it's so wonderful is because they don't ever try to depict this family as perfect or any of these people as being kind of without flaws. All of the characters have their own flaws. They have their own challenges. But they also have a sense of silliness and wonder and a real sense of familial love. Now, sometimes there are revelations in the story that prompt Bluey to say, "Aw, yeah," which we have begun saying in our household when we discover something. "Aw, yeah." And sometimes things don't go the way that they want and something happens that really negatively affects one of the characters. Typically, this is the dad, to which he exclaims, "Aw, biscuits," which is sort of the biscuits, which is sort of the kind of the swear word of the Bluey universe. And so even in these kind of complex stories, there is, it's not just, a lot of this kind of show is just mindless entertainment in a lot of these preschool shows, but this one really seems to have good learned lessons with each episode, and they are lessons that are sometimes very deep and complex, dealing with issues such as life and death, and losing friends and having fights with people you love and all these kinds of things. But they are told in such a way that even someone on a preschool level can relate to it and can take something from it. And to demonstrate that, I brought with me today an expert in the world of Bluey. And I did not have to go far to find this person. It's my own son, Brian. So I'm going to invite Brian to come up here and talk a little bit about what some of the show has. So we're going to share this microphone here, okay? All right, so we're going to be talking about this episode called Monkey Jocks. And what I should tell you that jocks is Australian slang for tidy whities. So Mr. Monkey Jocks is a monkey wearing jocks. So, Brian, tell me, how does the episode start out?
It starts with a chuck out.
What is a chuck out?
It's when you're deciding which toys to keep and which toys to give away.
Oh, okay. And then what is the problem that they run into very quickly with the chuck out?
That they want to keep almost everything.
They don't want to chuck anything out, right? Is there anything that they do decide to donate?
Actually, they don't decide to donate it, but there is something in the chuck bin.
There's one thing in the chuck bin, and what is that?
Mr. Monkey Jocks.
But what happens when Bingo finds out that Mr. Monkey Jocks is in the chuck bin?
He's like, no, Mr. Monkey Jocks is special too.
Right, Mr. Monkey Jocks is special too. So now everything becomes special. So in order for Bluey and Bingo to keep Mr. Monkey Jocks, what does Bandit say that they have to do?
Show him that it's special.
Show who? Show Bandit?
Yes.
So they have to show Bandit that Mr. Monkey Jocks is special. What do they do to show Bandit that Mr. Monkey Jocks is special?
They do things like in this photo, Mr. Monkey Jocks is taking Dad's newspaper and his spot on the couch.
And then what happens?
And then Chili remarries Mr. Monkey Jocks.
Chili marries Mr. Monkey Jocks? What happens to Bandit?
Bandit is left. Bandit ends up becoming the butler of Mr. Monkey Jocks.
Bandit becomes the butler of Mr. Monkey Jocks. But Bandit uses that to his advantage, right?
Yes.
What does Bandit do?
Bandit takes stuff like taking clothing from other stuffed animals and just saying like, if you have a problem with, I'm just the butler. If you have a problem, take it up with the monkey.
And in the end, Mr. Monkey Jocks gets everything that he wants, right? Including getting rid of all the other stuffed animals. But still, Mr. Monkey Jocks isn't happy, right?
Yeah.
And then, so what is the lesson that Mr. Monkey Jocks tells Bluey and Bingo?
That nothing can be special if you have everything you want.
So if nothing can be special if you have everything you want, then nothing is special?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And so do you think the kids learn this lesson?
Yes.
And then, so what do they do after they learn the lesson?
They retry the chuckout.
They retry the chuckout. Okay, and then what happens?
Then, so they end up chucking some of their toys and keep, like, the really special ones.
Okay, because now they're more special, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happens to Mr. Monkey Jocks?
He gets chucked and he gets put in, and he goes to a pop shop, and it comes to a kid in the hospital.
Oh, it comes to a kid in the hospital. And this kid doesn't have any other stuffies in the hospital, right?
No.
And so Mr. Monkey Jocks is what?
Special.
Really special. Yeah. And then at the end of the episode, I always think this is great. At the end of the episode, you really see the monkey doesn't change his expression the entire episode. But the whole time, for whatever reason, he has his smile always seems really smug. But at the end, don't you think his smile seems like really sweet and loving?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so what is the lesson that you took away from this episode?
I took away that nothing can be special if you have everything you want.
Yeah, if you have everything you want, then nothing can be special. And one of the lessons I took away was that we really should be thankful for the things that we have instead of just constantly wanting new things, because if we're not thankful for them, then they're not going to be special. So I think we both learned something from that. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming and helping us learn a little bit about Mr. Monkey Jocks. You can go have a seat now.
Okay.
Thanks. So anybody can learn lessons from these episodes. And I didn't just bring this here because these are good moral lessons. They are really good moral lessons, and I think that there's a lot to learn from this show. But there's a couple episodes that deal with elements of theology and spirituality. And one of those episodes is an episode called Flat Pack. Flat Pack is the name of the kind of boxes that they sell at places like IKEA, where you get a big flat pack of stuff and then you have to put it together. And that is how the episode begins. The Healer family has just returned to whatever the Bluey universe equivalent is of IKEA. And here you see them toasting with their hex keys, about to embark on this project of building a porch swing. And Bluey and Bingo are so excited because of all of the boxes that are there. They say, can we play with the boxes? And, you know, Bandit says, sure. And so whatever they're done with, they cast off the porch onto the grass below, and the two little girls play with whatever they get cast off. And so they start off by pretending that they are fish on the bubble wrap, and then they get a box, and they go and become frogs getting onto land, and then lizards with little tube tails, and finally they are dinosaurs around a giant volcano. And then after a slight catastrophe that gets destroyed, the volcano gets destroyed, and they decide to become birds. And then they get a big pile of styrofoam and snuggle under it like they're some kind of little snow mammals curling up in a hutch under the snow. After that, they decide they're going to be monkeys climbing up on the side of one of the built pieces. And after they're shooed away from that, they decide, we don't want to be monkeys anymore. Let's be cave dogs. And so they decide to be cave dogs. And with the help of a little writing instrument that one of the cave dogs finds, they are able to create the history of their world on their cave walls. So here is Cave Man Bluey teaching cave, or Cave Dog Bluey teaching Cave Dog Bingo the history of everything based on the hieroglyphics they have designed on their walls. Now, I should mention that through every different iteration and age that the girls play, they always assume the same role. Bluey is the mama of whatever creature they are, and Bingo is the daughter. But throughout this whole time, Bingo is growing up. So Bingo starts out as a baby fish, and then becomes a toddler, and then finally, when they get to be cave dogs, Bingo is a teenager cave dog being taught by Bluey the cave dog. And so Bluey goes through and explains the history from they start off as fish, and then frogs, lizards, dinosaurs, birds, mammals, monkeys, and cave dogs. And it's at this point you start to realize, oh, this is kind of the natural evolutionarily accepted way of that sort of life on Earth has evolved over the last multiple million years. And this time, the of course, Bluey and Bingo don't know this. They're just playing. They're just trying to play different things. But they are teaching this kind of evolutionary thing. And I think I don't even know that preschoolers watching it would necessarily get that. But certainly adults would get that, and it would be kind of just like an interesting way of showing how things become more complex as they evolve. Now, before you think that this is sort of a Darwinesque evolutionary thinking without any form of theology, you have to look, as Bingo did, at the top of this hieroglyphic. As Bingo points out, well, what is that thing there at the top? And then Bluey, with a lot of grunts and pointing, says, ooh, these two things, these are the godlike things that live on the in the clouds, way, way up on the porch. And these two gods are always fighting with each other, bickering. As anybody who has ever tried to build something with IKEA, with a spouse, or a roommate knows, at some point, you're just going to have to yell at each other. They should just put it in the instructions. With those little the little cartoon people pointing and saying, you, and then you, get that out of the way. And sure enough, the adults throughout the episode are all trying to put this together and saying, no, that's supposed to go this way. This is supposed to go that way. Oh, you dropped it. But at this point, as Bluey is teaching Bingo about these strange characters up in the sky that are always throwing things down to them, Chili stops what she's doing, looks at the two of them down there playing, and she goes, oh, look at them playing. We made them. And the two parents, or gods if you will, decide to collaborate with each other and build this thing as Bandit says, yeah, let's act like we know what we're doing, like we're good at this. And they form sort of a loving bond to create, to finish the creation of this porch swing. Now there's one final step in this evolutionary process, and that is pushed way ahead from cave dogs to the future when Bluey discovers the tool. It's one of those building thingies, she said. Let's be builders. And so they build this glorious city. And at this point, after the city is built and the library is completed, it is at this point that Bingo is all grown up and ready to go out on her own in the spaceship that she has created. And Bluey has become quite old. And after Bingo leaves, and Bluey with her little cane, that's her little cane there, sits down kind of sad and wonders what is next for her. And at that point, the camera pans backwards and you see the parents who are sitting on their completed porch swing up in the clouds on top of the porch, and they beckon Bluey to come up. And so Bluey goes through this arch and over this bridge, not to put too fine a point on it, up the stairs and sits down with her parents as they watch Bingo puttering around on her spaceship below. And right before it ends, in this beautiful moment where the created is in the realm and in the embrace of the creator, Bandit says, "This is heaven." For us, it might be something that is a little on the nose, but it is such a neat way for a child to approach what is a very difficult idea: how everything came to be. Where did we come from? Who made all of this? What happens to us after we die? What is our purpose in life? All of these questions are not answered completely, but they're certainly given room to be interpreted in this episode. Now, I could go on and on about all the different episodes. There's only 100 or so, 120 of them, but I don't want to keep you too much longer. However, I did want to share with you one other episode, and it's only about 7 minutes. And because this episode was very hard to describe, because it's kind of open to interpretation. But what this episode does a great job of is answering the question of what is spirituality. Now, this is a hard concept for a preschooler to understand. Heck, it's a hard concept for adults to understand. And yet the creators of the show tried to at least take a stab at it. And in this episode, you'll see that it takes place on two different planes. On the real world, it just sort of follows the healer through a night of sleep and all of the things that can happen with kids when you're trying to get them to sleep and to stay asleep. But on another level, it takes place in Bingo's dream world. And although the dream world and the real world, the lines are never crossed from one to the other, one is constantly influencing the other, much the same way that our spiritual lives influence our real lives, even if there is not a crossover of that boundary. So I'm going to play this for us now, and I'm going to leave it up to your interpretation.
And then the baby chick hatched out of her egg.
Woo!
And the first thing she saw was her mummy chicken.
Yay!
And sleep now.
Aw, I'm not tired.
My bingo.
picked her now.
Just one more.
Bingo.
Please.
Okay, one more, then sleepy time.
Hooray! This episode of Bluey is called Sleepy Time.
And what's this planet called?
Mercury.
Good. And the big hot star in the middle?
The sun!
That's right. Clever girl. Now, sleepy time. Mwah.
Where's Floppy?
Oh, here she is.
Floppy!
Mustn't forget Floppy.
Mom, I want to do a big girl sleep tonight. I'll wake up in my own bed.
You do your best, honey. But remember, I'm always here if you need me.
Okay.
Sweet dreams.
Eight bottles of tea.